heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, so happy to be with you on this weekend that is packed full of things to celebrate. First off, it's still Easter. Don't forget about that. Secondly, as you may well know if you've been listening to Relevant Radio throughout the week, we are wrapping up Pledge Drive Week here. Our need is $3 million, and thank you for your generosity in giving. Please consider giving to keep Practicing Catholic as well as the other great programming on the air. Give hope. You can pledge online at relevantradio.com, on the Relevant Radio app, or you can call 877-291-0123. And then next, this Sunday has three items that deserve the attention of every practicing Catholic. First, of course, it's Mother's Day. This being the month of May, we can all celebrate our relationship with our Blessed Mother. But I hope and pray that you have or had a thriving and growing relationship with your own earthly mother, and that this Mother's Day is an opportunity to honor and thank your mom for the way she has excelled in living out her fundamental vocation. And speaking of vocations, this Sunday is also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. Did you know that St. John Paul II said that the fundamental objective of the formation of the lay faithful is an ever clearer discovery of one's vocation and the ever greater willingness to live it so as to fulfill one's mission? That's from his apostolic exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici. And every practicing Catholic has a calling, has a vocation. So we should always be praying for vocations, ours and each other's, especially, though, this Sunday. Tell you what, let's create a culture of vocations here in our local church. And finally, this Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Easter, which means it is Good Shepherd Sunday. Our gospel lesson for Sunday is a very short one, in which, nonetheless, our Lord makes many points. Well, one of the things he says is, he says that his sheep hear his voice, he knows them, and they follow him. Now, we were just talking about vocations. Aren't these three points the fundamental aspects of a vocation? First, the sheep hear his voice. Well, what does this mean other than the Lord is still speaking? And even when the Lord is silent, his silence is meant to speak. The question is, are our ears attuned to his voice? Or does the noise of the world and of our own lives, you know, our busyness, worries, temptations, our selfish longings, does all of this clamor drown out the still small voice of the Good Shepherd? Second, Jesus says that he knows his sheep, and he knows us through and through, our strengths, our weaknesses, our triumphs, our failures, our faithfulness, and our transgressions. And what does that mean? But there is no need to flee from him, no need to hide. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and he can lead us better than we can lead ourselves. When we trust him with our lives, he gives us a life beyond imagination, an eternal life. Third, he says his sheep follow him. Well, hearing Jesus and trusting him demands action, demands a response on our part. We need to follow. But don't be fooled. This is not a task to be taken for granted or blindly. Following Jesus means taking the narrow, often hidden way, the way of foolishness in the eyes of the world, the way of mockery, the way of suffering, the way of the cross. So, embracing our vocation, which means hearing his voice, trusting that he knows us, and following him is our task. My question for you today, friends, is which of those three aspects of vocation do you most need to work on today? Hearing, trusting, or following? At the end of the day, at the end of our lives, nothing will be worth more. And yet another great show on tap for us today. First off, kicking us off today on this Mother's Day show is a very special guest who loves his mother very much. Bishop Joseph Williams is with us in just a moment to share about his relationship with his earthly mom and our Blessed Mother. Next up, so many moms are great, but some are just grand. How exactly does a grandmother celebrate Mother's Day? And how might we honor our grandmas and our grandpas this weekend? Alan and Joanne Foley join us with some thoughts. Finally, Sunday is not only Mother's Day, but it's also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, as I just said. From earthly moms and dads to spiritual mothers and fathers, how can we create a culture of vocations right here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis? We'll chat with Vocations Director Father David Bloom. All of that's coming up on the show today. Please, let's pause here a moment. Please join me in prayer as we give this important show over to the Good Shepherd, over to our Lord, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Mother's Day weekend, we're joined by our new Auxiliary Bishop, Bishop Joseph Williams. What a treat to speak with His Excellency on this weekend dedicated to mothers, especially as Bishop Williams has made it well known of his devotion to Our Lady, our Universal Mother. Bishop Williams was ordained and appointed Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese just this past January and also serves as pastor of St. Stephen's and Holy Rosary in Minneapolis. Bishop Williams, thank you for taking the time out of your day to chat with us and welcome to the program.
Patrick, good to be back.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Okay, so before we delve into Mother's Day, which is where we want to end up, just a quick check-in with you. How's it going? How's the job going? Any moments that are really standing out thus far?
You know, it's been a great blessing. I've learned a lot. The grace of God is there, of course. Ordination, Holy Orders, is a sacrament, and so it's a work of God, and I just find myself discovering what He did in that anointing and trying to live out of that. I think highlights, definitely confirmations have been a highlight for me. I have four of them this week, and I just feel privileged to be in the upper room, you know, with the young church, with Mary, praying for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit and just encouraging those young disciples to really, you know, accept those gifts and put them now at the service of the church. So that's been a particular joy, I would say.
Amen. Well, it's been a real gift. Even now, as I'm speaking with you, I can hear the joy in your voice, and it warms my heart to know that we have you, at least for the time being anyway.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, thanks be to God. All right, so let's talk about moms. Now, you're one of nine, as I understand
it. I'm one of nine.
Yeah, and I know from the things I've read about you that you are close to your mom. You've even shared about how she and your dad have influenced your vocational call to the priesthood, along with your brother, Father Peter Williams, who's the pastor of St. Ambrose in Woodbury. So how has your mother's example influenced your ministry?
You know, Patrick, if there is such a thing as a charism of motherhood, my mom has that.
Nice.
She has nine kids. She makes it look effortless, and she's joyful in it. And it's such a gift, not just for myself, for my brothers and sisters. You know, a couple of years back, I think we were at the lake, and my mom was, you know, as usual, preparing all the food and getting everything ready. And my sister Anne just said, you know, Mom, she's such a giver. And that resonated with me because I think one of my earliest memories with my mother is coming home after the half day of kindergarten that we used to have at St. Croix Catholic School. And I think my older brothers were in the all-day program already and just sitting with her after lunch on her lap and listening to a record. And the song was God So Loved the World. And the line I remember is, so give yourself a little and then you'll surely see how good life can be. And I think that's maybe the earliest lesson that I've learned from my mom of giving. And then when we give more, life gets better. And, you know, she's lived that. She went into labor on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little over 2 years after having Matthew, less than 12 months after giving birth to John. And she said yes to life again. Mm. And I'm just struck by the generosity in that and how Eucharistic. You know, the more I'm serving in the parish, the more you realize that every time a mother, a wife says yes to life, they're really saying, this is my body given for you.
Wow.
It's very Eucharistic, and it's as the Eucharist is, it's very Paschal. There's a suffering, there's a giving of themselves as the child literally feeds from their being. And so my mom has taught me that lesson, but she's taught it by living it so well. And I think all of our brothers and sisters would say that giving, that generosity that we've learned in our own vocations is rooted in her yes to God and to motherhood.
I absolutely love that portrait that you paint of a mother being Eucharistic when she when she gives her body in that way. What a wonderful picture. And as you just mentioned there at the end too, I mean, it's a mother giving her own fiat, her own, you know, be it done unto me according to thy word. And speaking of our Blessed Mother, we're looking particularly at all the women in our lives, our earthly and physical mothers, as well as our spiritual mothers. And then, of course, who better to turn to than our Blessed Mother? So give us an idea, and especially in this day and age where I'm struck by how some Catholics may not be actively cultivating a relationship with the Blessed Mother. What has your relationship been like with our Mother Mary, and how would you suggest that others begin to cultivate that in their own lives?
You know, there's a title that's been important to me. It's from the Spanish, auxiliadora, and it means helper. And it's from, you know, broadly speaking, her title as Mary, Help of Christians. But in Latin America, the Maria Auxiliadora, it's the same feast, the May 24th, I think the reason it strikes me is because of its allusion to Genesis, where Eve is called the helper of Adam. And in my particular Christian life, in my priesthood in particular, that help, Mary as a help of Christians, has always been there. I mentioned it, I think, the last time we spoke when I got the call from the nuncio.
Yeah,
it's a call from Christ, of course, through his vicar. But it's the mother, it's the woman who says, don't be afraid, and gives that courage. You know, the woman often draws that courage out of the man. And so in my particular life, so much courage that I've experienced in ministry has come from Our Lady and her role as really a helper of all Christians, but in a special way of her priests.
Mm. Yeah. And that's a great picture of a great portrait that you paint that way as well, and how Our Lady does help us and drawing the courage out of men. I'm going to have to chew on that one for a while.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about honoring father and mother. One of the Ten Commandments, obviously. So it's a foundationally important part of our lives as practicing Catholics. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious from you, Bishop Williams, what might this practically look like in our interactions with our parents, especially as adult children?
Yes, you know, my saintly grandmother who went to God over a couple of years ago, I learned from a very young age, I think in a moment of disobedience, to be honest, when my mom put me on the phone with my grandmother and she said, Joseph, remember, obedience is the first law of love. And so I learned that from a very young age, and obedience is from the obedire, the Latin meaning to listen.
Yeah.
And so it's that open ear, and it's what God the Father wants from us. It's precious, in fact, and it's because he wants not, first of all, for us to do X, Y, or Z. Of course, that's part of obedience, but that time with him when our hearts and our ears are open. So often in the confessional, when I'm doing confessions with young people, it's so easy to think about how we've offended human relationships, but I try to bring them back. And what about your Heavenly Father? Mm. Have you spent time with him? And trying to help the young person to understand that maybe the parent is most grieved, not when they've had this or that weak moment and done this or that action, but maybe in just simply not listening realizing how much they're loved by the father or mother, and then taking that time to be with and to listen. So the sense of obedience in that way has always struck me, and it's something, again, I learned from my grandmother, and it of course is a big part of the spiritual life as well, as we do Lectio Divina and really have that open ear, as the Psalms talk about.
Yeah, and if I may say so, it's somewhat countercultural these days, as we set up ourselves as the gods of our own life, that obedience seems to ring or clash perhaps in our ears, right? So it's a great countercultural example of what life can be when we do obey.
No doubt.
Right. Well, let's take a look, a broader look even now, at the women in the church specifically. My question is, how might we best be able to engage with those who would criticize the Catholic faith for not being inclusive, quote-unquote, inclusive of women in the priesthood or in other roles?
Yeah, understood. You know, I think there is kind of a kairos moment, as they say, and it's not just me who says that. At the Second Vatican Council, there was the great decree on the laity, and in the opening paragraph, there's something that says, you know, the hour is coming, in fact, has come, when the dignity and vocation of women will be fully acknowledged. So there is a growth into it that we're finding as a church, when their influence, it says, their effect, their ability to lift up a fallen world with the gospel, is coming into a kind of fruition. Paul VI says we still haven't discovered or made clear all of the potentialities of that, but I think we're seeing a greater understanding on our part of the genius of women, of their ability to be protagonists in the new evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't forget as well, and it's important to know, and Paul VI mentions this as well, that of all the religions, it's hard to find any that have done as much as the Christian religion to dignify woman. This shines through in the New Testament and, of course, in the person of Christ. And boy, reading these Easter readings and see Mary of Magdala,
mm-hmm.
Precisely because she loved much, you know, love seeks love, and Jesus appears to her first and entrusts her with the good news. Go and tell my brothers, he says.
Right.
And so we can see just how important that is. And of course, you know, priesthood isn't about function. It's about family. The faith comes through the Father. We see this in the Old Testament, in the Jewish understanding of the transmission of faith. It was actually very countercultural in the Greco-Roman world for men to be priests, but we don't see it as, you know, women couldn't do this or that as well as men, but rather what is a father, a spiritual father, that's revealed to us in the Scriptures, and how does faith come through that father to the human family and to the family that is the church. So, yeah, that there are some countercultural aspects of this teaching, but I think as the church grows into, you know, the decree on the laity and St. John Paul's great document on the dignity and vocation of women,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see that the partnership with lay women and religious in the announcement of the gospel is going to be part of what helps us fully acknowledge, my goodness, this is really powerful when there's this cooperation. I saw that when I was at the Cathedral of St. Paul. I was there when we were founding the Cathedral Young Adults, which are still active today.
Yeah.
And I helped to write the first bylaws that were helping to found this thing. And I remember, I think it went into elections eventually, but I got to choose who would be the head of the Cathedral Young Adults just as a beginning. And it was a young woman, I think Lisa Hunter. She was apostolic, she was professional, her just a true devotion to Christ, the ability to bring people together. There was real leadership there. And, you know, that early on in my priesthood, I could see, boy, what a gift this is to have her, to have lay women like her be partners in the proclamation of the gospel. So I've been convinced of that from a very young age as a priest, and I'm more and more convinced, you know, every year that this will only get fuller as time goes on.
Yeah. Well, may it be so, indeed.
Yes.
Well, Bishop, I'm also just wanting to know, you're a man, obviously, of deep prayer. You have a rich and profound prayer life. We can see that from the way that you speak, but also in the things that we continue to read about you and it comes forth in your ministry as well. And so I'm sure that on this weekend, when we are praying for vocations as well as for our mothers, that maybe perhaps we can offer a prayer or two for you. How might we, the faithful here in the Archdiocese, how might we pray for you, Bishop Williams?
Thanks for asking, Patrick. You know, first of all, joining with the Archbishop, the novena for the Synod is coming up. Of course, it's the original Pentecost novena. He's asking the entire Church to pray for a new outpouring of the Spirit through the Synod process, and precisely through that process. That's June 3rd through the 4th. So that I think it begins May 27th, don't quote me on that, but around that time, the whole Church is invited to be in the upper room with Mary and the Apostles and to pray for the Synod and for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So since I'm so involved in the Synod process, those would be prayers for me as well.
Okay.
And also just a blessing on all of the mothers, a memorare for my mother. I certainly would appreciate that this Mother's Day. And for all the mothers and grandmothers and godmothers that are in the Church, that prayer has always been special for me. I'll certainly be praying that prayer for the mothers that are listening to the program today.
Yeah, very good. Any special plans that you have this Mother's Day, Bishop?
You know, I'll be at St. Michael in St. Michael celebrating Mass with that parish community at the invitation of Father Brian Park. So I'll be celebrating with those mothers. God willing, I'll get to go back to Stillwater and get a lunch with my own family, my own mother, on that day.
Yeah, that'd be very good. Well, Bishop, we've reached that time where thank you, first of all, for joining us, of course, but it would be absolutely fantastic if you're willing to grant us maybe a bit of prayer for our mothers and then a blessing for all of our listeners, if you please.
I would be happy to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Yeah. Thank you, good and gracious God, for the gift of woman and for the potential to bring life into this world that you've bestowed upon them, in which they've shared generously with us when they said, "This is my body given for you, given for us." We thank you for those sacrifices. We thank you for the Eucharist that they brought us to through their example. And we thank you, Lord, because we know you're going to bless them abundantly this weekend and give them the joy that comes through the giving that they've been wonderful witnesses of. And through the intercession of Mary, Mother of Jesus, may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Bishop Williams, we thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic and look forward to the next time. Happy Mother's Day and happy weekend to you. If you are interested in reading that apostolic letter from St. John Paul II on the dignity of women, go to your favorite internet browser and search for Mulieris Dignitatem, Mulieris Dignitatem, an apostolic letter from St. John Paul II back in 1988. From mothers to grandmothers. Up next, we're talking about grandparent ministry in the Archdiocese and why these experienced moms and dads are so important. Stick around.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Thank you so much for all that you do for all of us. And you touch all of our lives in so many ways and probably ways you don't realize. I've been a listener for over 10 years and it's amazing.
Powered by you, this is listener-supported Relevant Radio.
What do you think the greatest act of love that we could do right now would be? I think it is to help other people know Jesus Christ. Well, how can I do that? Well, it's simple. You know, you invite people, you talk about your faith, you share things. You don't have to do it perfectly. And then the other thing you need to do is you need to support organizations who are doing good work, like Relevant Radio.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. You can review all those benefits at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123.
I invite you to join me at 3 Central, 4 Eastern, to pray this powerful prayer for your special needs. The Chaplet of Divine Mercy.
Enlightening minds, inspiring hearts, enriching souls. This is Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, if you thought being a mom on Mother's Day was great, many grandmothers would probably tell you it's been even sweeter for them. Joining us to talk about that and grandparent ministry in general are Joanne and Alan Foley, founders of Early Catholic Family Life for Grandparents, as well as grandparents themselves who have a heart for cultivating relationships between grandparents, grandchildren, and the church. Well, welcome, Joanne. It's good to talk with you.
It's good to talk with you, too.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to let you do a little bit of bragging here first, because we want to know how long ago did you first become grandparents, and how many grandkids do you have?
You know, we have four children, and our two oldest are married and have children. We have our oldest has six children, and our second oldest has three.
You're doing pretty well then with nine grandchildren.
Yeah,
very good.
They're between 11 years old and 22.
All right, so let me ask you too, Joanne, while I've got you, what has been one of the greatest joys of being a grandmother?
You know, it's a great joy to spend time with them. So just hanging out with our grandchildren is just a great joy, because they are just filled with life and energy, and they're interested and curious in life, and what they're going about doing right now is interesting to me. So it's really just spending time with them that's a great joy.
Very good. All right, well, let's say hello to Alan then. Alan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing good.
Good. So I want to ask you, Alan, so about this Early Catholic Family Life for Grandparents. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What is it, and why did you start it?
Yeah, I think I can explain it best by sharing with you how it all kind of came about. So we were working with the Catholic School Center of Excellence, Cisco,
sure,
on our ECFL for our regular ECFL program, which is aimed at families that have children age 0 to 6. And one of the people we were working with at that time, Anne Marie Vega, went to a meeting at the Archdiocese, and she met there Crystal Crocker, who was in the Office of Evangelization,
and
who was working on a grandparents initiative at that time. And Anne Marie, to her credit, thought what a great match this would be for the Early Catholic Family Life program. Because in her meeting, the people she was meeting with were talking about the unique needs of Catholic grandparents, and she thought our curriculum would work well for that. So we met with Crystal. Crystal had a group of grandparents that she was already meeting with, and she invited them to talk with us. And through that initial meeting, we got a great list of the topics that Catholic grandparents were most interested in.
Mm.
And so we put a curriculum together and offered ECFL for grandparents for the first time back in early 2020, just before the pandemic hit. So it was a wonderful experience for us and for all the grandparents there. we'd love to share more about it.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
how it came about.
Very good. Well, let me go back to Joanne. Joanne, what were some of the topics that came up that grandparents are most especially concerned about?
You know, grandparents are really interested in knowing ways to pass down the faith to their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
They were also interested in faith-based opportunities to spend time together with their grandchildren, which is exactly what we did and which we do. And so it was an opportunity for them to come together with their little ones and play in activities that were like baptizing dollies and pretending the mass. And they just loved, and so did their grandchildren, hanging out together and doing these fun activities, singing together, talking about Jesus together, and learning some songs and things that talked about God made everything and all of that. So they were looking for opportunities to play together. They're looking for ways to strengthen their faith and to pass it down to their children and their grandchildren. So they also were very interested in talking to other grandparents about their great love of their faith, how they could grow in faith, and how they could pass it down. So, yeah, they were interested in all the things that we're able to put together.
All right. Well, that's wonderful, and I can see how those would be right at the heart of concern for grandparents, that they want to see the faith alive and well in their grandchildren as well. Well, we are coming up. Joanne, I'm going to stick with you. We are coming up here on Mother's Day, of course. We've got Mother's Day this weekend, this Sunday. And it tends to be, oftentimes the focus just kind of naturally falls on mothers with young children. And for those mothers celebrating their first ever Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day. It's an important time, obviously. But let me ask you, what is Mother's Day like now for you as a grandmother?
You know, what I mentioned before is that time, and we were fortunate enough to have grandchildren who make a time in their daily busy lives to come and hang out with Grandma and Grandpa. And so we have had a lot of that. So then on Mother's Day, it's an opportunity for me both to go to my own mother, who's still living, and she's 91 years old. So we'll take her to Mass and have breakfast with her and have a chance to be grateful to her. But then also I will have time with my own children and grandchildren as they connect in some way with us. So sometimes we'll have a breakfast or a brunch. Sometimes they'll stop in with flowers or hang out for a little bit while. We, like I say, sometimes our grandchildren will be biking by and stop and just hang out with us. And so it's just a matter of really just having a connection time with them, I guess.
Right. Yeah, connection and relationship. I see that. Alan, let me go back to you for a moment, too. How about you and being a grandfather? What have been some of the special joys of being a grandfather?
You know, we have really tried to be as deliberate as possible about creating opportunities to be with our grandchildren. So until the last couple of years, we've had an annual trip to the Boundary Waters, and all the older grandkids go with us on that. But every time we have a Christmas or an Easter or a birthday or, of course, Mother's Day, we try to reach out to our children to make sure that on those special days we're all gathering as a family. So, like Joanne said, it's been a great joy because we feel really close to our grandchildren, and we're very fortunate because they all live here in the Twin Cities. So Jesse's family lives in Richfield and attends St. Peter's, and Jacob and his family live in Eden Prairie and attend St. Hubert.
Yeah, very good, very good. Glad to see the faith alive and well there also. Alan, let me stick with you, and I'm going to ask a little bit more of maybe a theologically or at least a theoretically based question for you. So Pope Francis recently touched on in a homily, he said, please cherish the elderly, and even if their mind goes, cherish the old. Now, I'm not insinuating anything here about your own mind, but he goes on to say, because they are the presence of history, the presence of my family, and thanks to them, I am here. We can all say, thanks to you, grandfather and grandmother, I am alive. So I guess my question to you, there's a serious thankfulness and a contemplation of what it means to be a grandparent there. And my question for you, Alan, is how does keeping in touch with our grandparents help us honor the commandment to honor our father and mother?
Yeah, you know, I can tell you a little bit from our regular ECFL program, which is usually has young parents with children 0 to 6, because in our curriculum there's a couple places where we ask parents to answer questions that naturally lead them to think about their own faith history, and that gets them to think about their parents and grandparents. So one of those questions is, who taught you to pray? So a very simple question, but often leading to the most wonderful and profound answers. And the other is, do you recall as a child seeing your family members in prayer? And so often these parents are recalling as children how they stayed with grandma or with grandma and grandpa. And, for example, it's bedtime and everybody's going to bed, and a parent will recall very tenderly walking down the hall past their grandmother's door and seeing their grandmother in prayer at the side of her bed. And so those links, which are often all the way from grandparents through parents to grandchildren, are really, really key because it helps to instill that Catholic culture that's such an important part of children maintaining their faith through their early adulthood and into the time when they themselves are having children. So, the Pope in his homily that day, which we just read the other day, was talking at length about respect for grandchildren, or grandparents, rather, and that's exactly what has to happen in a healthy Catholic home.
Mm-hmm. That respect is something that it needs to be nurtured, it needs to be fostered, it needs to be grown, I am sure, and I'm grateful for the ways that my parents helped me to learn to honor and respect my grandparents as well. But Joanne, going back to you for a moment, I would ask something similar to, what do you see as so important, so fundamentally important when it comes to grandchildren honoring their grandparents, and how does that tie in with our honoring of our father and mother?
We have a study that we've seen a number of times from the Mary Institute, and it talks about a family that worships God together does better on every measurable characteristic. And so it tells us that if you worship God, your family does better in both mental and physical health. Your children do better in school. Your families do better in relationships. You can overcome conflicts more easily. It increases your appreciation. It humbles us before each other. And so just so many good things come of a family that worships together.
Right.
And we benefit, as practicing Catholics, we benefit in a million ways we don't even understand. And one of those is, of course, honor, you know, the Ten Commandments, honoring your father and your mother, honoring your grandparents and your grandparents. It's because we, as practicing Catholics, receive so much grace through the sacraments and through going to Mass and through the good works that we try to incorporate into our lives, that all translates into a stronger family that honors and respects one another better and better. So it's just a win-win-win to be a practicing Catholic.
Amen to that. Well, and that's the name of the show, right? So we are so grateful for that. We're speaking with Alan and Joanne Foley. They are the founders of Early Catholic Family Life for Grandparents, and speaking with us about honoring our grandparents, and especially in this upcoming Mother's Day on Sunday. So, Joanne, as I've still got you there, I want to ask you too, how would you suggest people honor their grandma on this Mother's Day Sunday, especially, well, I guess in two different situations. One, if they're living in the same town, or two, if they're separated by a number of miles. What's a good way to honor grandma this Sunday?
You know, that's a wonderful question because, you know, our grandparents have spent so much time in prayer for us, right? I mean, this is what grandparents, Catholic grandparents, do. And so if you're nearby to that grandparent, what a wonderful gift to bring grandma to church. If she's not able to leave home or whatever, or your grandfather and grandmother to church, if not, maybe arrange for them to receive the Eucharist. But for sure, if you're far from that grandparent, the wonderful gift of prayer. Pray for them. As a friend of mine who's now passed used to say, growing old is not for the faint of heart. And so, you know, as we grow older, we also benefit, of course, we know the power of prayer, but we benefit from the gift of our grandchildren's prayers for us and our children's prayers for us because they love us, right? I mean, and so since we love our grandparents, pray for them.
Yeah. Amen. Well, back to you, Alan, just for the last couple of seconds we have together, just in case people are wondering to find, and I'm sure they are, they're wondering, I want to know more about Early Catholic Family Life for Grandparents. How can they find out more?
Well, I think they can call us, 612-925-1203, or they can go to our website, which is earlycatholicfamilylife.org. So either of those places. But we love to talk about our program, so please, you know, Phil, anyone who's out there listening, we're very happy to take your calls and talk about our program, and that's what they can do.
Wonderful. Well, Alan and Joanne Foley, it's been a real pleasure having you on Practicing Catholic. Thank you for all the ministry and the work that you're doing, and may God continue to bless you in that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
EarlyCatholicFamilyLife.org. Check it out and see how all the wonderful ways that you can help to support your grandparents and teach others to do the same. When we come back, we'll get some tips on how to support vocational discernment from married life to the priesthood. Stay with us.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
When you can hear other people's stories of faith, stories of struggles, really helps me in my faith to know that I'm not alone. It doesn't matter where we are across the miles. We're all together as part of the body of Christ. That station has really blessed my life.
You just never know what you're going to hear on Relevant Radio that's going to help you on your path to heaven, to take you to that next level spiritually. There's always something new every single day with all of our hosts, with the three priests who answer your questions every day, with the other guests that we have. Your donation goes a long way to touching souls.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app. Or give us a call, 1-877-291-0123. That's 1-877-291-0123.
When you call, ask about making a recurring gift. There are benefits for both you and for Relevant Radio.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Berthium, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. And it is Pledge Week this week, so if you'd like to help support the work of bringing Christ to the world through the media, please visit relevantradio.com on the Relevant Radio app or call 877-291-0123. Mother's Day isn't the only eventful happening of this weekend. Sunday, May 8th is also the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, an opportunity to pray for and create a culture of vocations. So what does that look like in 2022? Father David Bloom, director of the Archdiocesan Office of Vocations, is with us to help answer those questions and more. Welcome to the program, Father Bloom.
Hello, good to be with you.
Absolutely, great to have you with us. As a child of the 70s and 80s, I can say that whenever somebody back then talked about discerning a vocation, they meant a vocation to the priesthood or to the religious life. But Father, help us understand what the Church means by vocation. It seems like it includes those, certainly, but it's broader than just that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we when we're discerning a vocation is a calling, right? And we're discerning that voice that we hope to hear from the Lord and who would say, this is what I desire for you to do. Of course, it's not always clear, is it? Usually it's not. For some people, it's very clear, and their discernment process is it goes very quickly and smoothly. For others, it takes some time. But absolutely, there's different ways, there's different ways that the Lord might call us. He might call us to marriage and family and raising up a family in Christ, maybe to the priesthood or to the consecrated life. And, you know, under consecrated life, there's many different forms of consecrated life. And so there's that to discern as well. And then there is, we don't hear a lot about it, we don't lift it up real high, but there is the generous single life mm-hmm. of that person who perhaps is sensing a call to not marry at this time, to take care of elderly parents, or perhaps there's another thing that they're being called to serve the poor or do certain things. It certainly covers everything.
Yeah, it sure does. But let's focus for a moment on priestly and religious vocations, just as we're looking at the World Day of Prayer for Vocations this Sunday, May 8th. And, of course, we should be praying for vocations all the time, but this is a unique time perhaps to spread even knowledge of and awareness of vocations throughout our local church, throughout the church worldwide as well. I'm just curious, Father, how do you think the Lord, and I'm asking you to speak for the Lord now, but how do you think the okay. Lord might answer as we're praying for vocations? How does the Lord respond? I mean, what kind of things does he do in response to our prayers for vocations?
Sure. Well, I think, I work with a lot of different men, sometimes women, but primarily here at the Office of Vocations, we're working with men who are discerning priesthood or perhaps religious life. But in all cases, the Lord desires to speak to the heart. And, you know, there's the dramatic situations where the man is at this beautiful church in Rome, and he's praying, and he hears the Lord say, "Be my priest."
Mm-hmm.
And then he really tries to ignore it. He goes to another church, and he's praying there, and he hears the Lord say, "Be my priest." I just talked to someone last week who had that similar experience.
Wow.
And now that's kind of more, I think that's a little more out of the norm. However, you know, discernment oftentimes is not that clear. Usually we're praying, "Lord, make it clear and help me to know." And I think one of the most important things is we would sense peace when we think about a vocation.
Okay.
And that may not happen for some time, but the Lord, if God is in it, there's going to be peace. And the Lord is not about confusion. The Lord is not about, you know, difficulty and challenges and in discernment. He desires to bring us to a place of peace.
Well, at the risk of being a little too forward, Father, could you tell us some of your own vocation story? I mean, how did you hear the Lord's voice calling you to the priesthood?
Sure. You know, one of the things that had happened here and there was that people would say, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" And, you know, it's not a bad question to ask someone. Now, you don't want to harass them, of course, but you might want to just drop that and just say, "You know, I could see you as a priest." And with that kind of encouragement, I learned about the vocation retreat that the Archbishop was having. Now, I had been dragging my feet for a long time, and I wasn't discerning. Every now and then I would pray about my vocation, but I wasn't very serious about actually discerning it and giving it the kind of time and the seriousness that it needs. But I did go on this retreat, and it was an incredible retreat. And when I left that retreat, I said, "Lord, I don't know if you're calling me to be a priest, but I do know that you want me to pray a lot more seriously about this beautiful vocation."
Yeah.
So I really started to pray, and every place I went, everything I was doing, at the copy machine at work, I'd be praying, at the ramp meter lights, I'm praying about my vocation, and standing in the line at the grocery store, just wherever I was praying, "Lord, lead me and guide me and help me to do your will."
That's so great. Yeah, I love it. We're speaking with Father David Bloom, director of the Archdiocesan Office of Vocations, about World Day of Prayer for Vocations this Sunday, May the 8th. Well, Father, that's great, and I love the idea of you praying at all these places where you have even just a moment to offer up a quick prayer about, "Lord, lead me and guide me." What a great piece of advice that is. Now, as I'm thinking about the many great things coming up here for our archdiocesan seminarians, we have the ordination to the transitional diaconate on May the 14th at the Basilica in Minneapolis, and then, of course, presbyteral ordination on May the 28th at the Cathedral of St. Paul. And I'm, from your perspective, Father, having gone through the ordination process, of course, yourself, what is it like now to watch these men who go through formation and come to this place, this sacred place of ordination?
Oh, wow. What a question. It's, you know, we are really blessed. We have so many guys who are in the seminary. We have really wonderful men who just all they want is to know God's will. They want to do God's will. And so, you know, guys who come in right out of high school, you see a lot of transformation because they come in, they might be 18, but they look like they're 14 or 15 sometimes. You know, they look quite young. And within a year or two, you can see they've really grown up. They matured spiritually, working with their spiritual director. They've grown intellectually and in so many other ways. They've just become more of the man of God that the Lord desires them to be. They're growing in confidence. And at the major seminary, I think that type of growth maybe isn't quite as easy to see from a distance, but you still see it, of course, when you are in conversation. Mm-hmm. And you see that this man is certainly growing in his discernment of his vocation, and maybe he's reached that point of certitude, knowing that this is what God is calling me to do. And it's wonderful to be around these men who simply want to do God's will, and they're willing to lay down their whole life. I'm very impressed by the men that we have in the Archdiocese as seminarians.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and I can imagine just it's a front row seat to the working of the Holy Spirit and watching his work in their lives. Well, Father, not a heck of a lot of time left, but I did want to ask you, we mentioned creating a culture of vocations. What does that mean, sure. And what does it look like here in our local church?
Sure. Well, I think it's really key because our culture forms us, right, for good or bad, you know, and we live in a culture that's really pretty toxic to the faith, but to create a culture of vocations would mean that it covers everything to do with discerning our vocation, and it becomes normative. So this can happen in a family, it can happen in a parish, it could happen more broadly as well. But in those two environments, family and parish, is certainly where we would want a culture of vocations. And so as a young man or woman is growing up, you know, they're supported by family, they're supported by the parish. At the parish, the youth minister is speaking about vocations, the religious education program speaks about vocations and lifts this up, and there's talks that are given. There's very positive things happening around vocations and discerning. And a young person is not kind of left to just kind of presume, what their vocation is. Rather, they're encouraged to actively discern and pray. And ask the Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? How can I serve you? So I think normative, discerning our vocation becomes normative in every way, shape, and form.
That sounds great, Father. Well, we're reaching the end here. And of course, we know the website, 10,000vocations.org. And what might people find if they wander over there?
You know, they'll see the current list of events. They'll see religious orders listed there as well. They will have, they'll certainly be able to see who our seminarians are. And I would like to just shout out here for our Archbishop's Discernment Retreat the last weekend in October. And then we have a women's discernment retreat in the third weekend of September. Those are really key events for us. And for those who are discerning their vocation, I think that those retreats can be so powerful.
Nice. Very good. Well, Father, before we let you go, could we grab a blessing from you as well?
Absolutely. Sure. Lord, send forth your Holy Spirit upon your people, especially on this, as we approach this weekend where we pray for vocations. We ask you, Lord, to bless those who are discerning their vocation, especially those who are dragging their feet or sitting on the fence. Lead them and guide them and help them to do your holy will. And I bless all of you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Bloom, thank you so much for joining us on Practicing Catholic. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much for all you do.
The website, again, is 10,000vocations.org. That's 1 followed by 4 zeros, vocations.org. Check it out. Miracles, music, and more. Paul and I will be back in just a moment with some great ways to connect with other local Catholics. We'll be right back.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chapel with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Hey, I feel like I've got two pistols on either side of me here, and they're E-pistols.
I noticed.
Yeah.
You've got some weight there.
That's right. Here's your E-pistols, okay? One is practicingcatholicshow.com. Check us out. Links to social media pages, all sorts of things. The other is relevantradio.com. Go there, find some great resources, and give hope today.
Said we've got some things coming up. One is Something for Survivors. Enshadowed Easter is holding our stories lovingly. It's coming up May 23rd from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Zoom. You can join other survivors in mutual support and love for conversations of kindness in these days of springtime. It's a great event for both survivors and those who care for them. That's coming up May 23rd, 6:30 to 8 on Zoom.
Yeah, it's an important one. And speaking of important ones, so are the women in our lives. Mothers or not, spiritual mothers, mothers who want to be mothers, mothers who are mothers. Well, how about a Moments for in Every Woman's Life, a morning of reflection just for you, women. 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, May 7th. That's this Saturday. So if you're listening on Saturday or Sunday, I'm sorry, you've missed it. But it will be coming around again. It's a morning reflection focused on the lives of Ruth and Naomi and what it means to be a whole woman. Learn from these beautiful women of Scripture and register online today. It's going to be at St. Thomas More in St. Paul, 9 a.m. to noon, Saturday, May 7th.
Here's an interesting one. Miracles as deeds of power and as signs of God's reign.
Ooh.
With Father Michael Jockus.
Yeah.
It's Thursday, May 12th, 6:30 p.m. at the Church of St. William in Fridley.
Mm.
Father Michael Jockus is an internationally known priest, composer, author, speaker, and he baptized my grandson, Jake.
Really?
He is speaking on miracles as deeds of power and as signs of God's reign. We've had him on the show, too.
We have. We've had him on the show, and
he's written some beautiful pieces. Probably the one you know best is On Eagle's Wings.
Yeah, of course.
But he also wrote a more recent one called Shelter Me, which he wrote for the pandemic, as a matter of fact.
Which I think that's a great way of getting through the pandemic, right? Is lifting up hope in the midst of it, calling on God's protection.
All right.
Yeah, there's some very good things going on. Well, we got other things going on all over at our friendly local neighborhood webpage, archspm.org/events. We got a Marriage Day celebration that's coming up next month in June. We got a St. Philip Neri discernment group.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, St. Philip Neri is I got to say, one of my favorite saints. And I think we talked about this before.
Right, he's the patron of a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, probably why he's one of my favorite saints. We've also got Rural Life Sunday, a sneak peek of that, all over at archspm.org/events. And what a great show we had today. Let's do it again next week, shall we?
I think that's a good idea.
I do too. All right. So you know what? We're gonna celebrate Our Lady of Fatima with Barb Ernster of the World Apostolate of Fatima. That's what's going on. And then we're also, another day of celebration is coming up on the feast of St. Philip Neri. There it is.
There we go.
Yep. Father Byron Hagen and Natalie Lang share about a special celebration that's going to be devoted to this joyful saint. And lastly, Jesus and rock and roll.
Oh, I like that.
Do I have your attention?
You do.
Jesus and rock and roll. Five of our rural parishes are uniting, get this, for an unforgettable summer concert. You won't want to miss that. That's all coming up next time here on Practicing Catholic. Thanks for joining us this time. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and you know what to do, practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. and we'll see you again next week.